The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Scripture reading is 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12. Found in the Pew Bibles on page 1023. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God has been made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. This is the word of God.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning again. Welcome to Life Connection. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. Grateful to be with you this morning. I think in our culture, there tends to be some confusion about the concept, the idea of love. I mean, on the one hand, I love my wife, but I also love barbecue. And I sure hope that those are different kinds of loves, right? There is this confusion in our culture with this idea, this concept. We tend to lump all kinds of things under the idea of love. Sometimes it can become a sort of mere sentiment. If you have warm feelings, loving feelings, like that's what it means to love another person. And yet we all have the experience of knowing how that falls short. Like intuitively, we know there's something more to love than just mere words or mere sentiment. There's got to be some sort of action that accompanies it. It's not enough just to have syrupy words and fond, warm sentiment. We need something more than that. And intuitively, we know that's the case. We know that love is intended to be seen in action. Like, we know that love looks like the single mom who is working extra hours to help provide for her kids. We know that love looks like fathers who sacrifice their time to provide memories over spring break vacations. We know that love looks like the small business owner who forgoes his own salary increase so that he can ensure his employees get theirs. We know that love looks like something in action, like a friend who sits with us after the loss of someone dear. Love is not mere syrupy words or sentiment, but it is something that is to be enacted. And I think that's why this passage is going to help us this morning, because what we see is that love is rooted, grounded, initiated by God himself. God is love. Love comes from God. And through this passage, then, we're going to be able to explore and think about what it might look like for us to grow in love, and specifically, love for one another in the family of God. Well, we'll see this morning a very simple idea. We love because God is love. That's what we're going to see this morning. That has tremendous impact for our lives and how we think about the world in which we live. So the first thing that we're going to see is that we can love one another because God is love. Verse 8, once again, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. We can love one another because God is love. There's this common refrain throughout this passage. Three times we see this call to love one another. Love's integral to the Christian faith. It's massively important for our lives. Jesus himself says in John 13, verse 35, that the world will know that you're my disciples. How? By your love for one another. Love is integral to our life together. Love is integral to our faith. Our love is to be shaped by Jesus in certain kinds of ways. He says that those who have been born of God, verse 7, have been transformed to love brothers and sisters in the family of God. You see, Christian love is tangible. It's not mere words. It's not sentiment. It's robust. It's tangible. But why should we think that? Why should we think that love is more than just saying loving words or having warm feelings? Why should we think it's more than that? Well, it's because of the very nature and character of God himself. Love is robust and tangible because it's from God, and God is love. See, our love is based upon who God is. This passage shows us, these verses show us that the source and origin for all love is found in God. So it makes sense that for any who would be born of God would grow to look more and more like their heavenly Father. Because love is sourced and finds its origin in God himself. And this is one of the many things that makes Christianity stand apart in all of our world. I mean, the deepest statement in this little letter comes here, and it tells us something about the very essential nature of God. God is love. Now, don't misunderstand what's being said here. This isn't an idea that sometimes gets floated around in our culture, that wherever you see love, there you see God. God is equal to love. That's not the point that he's making. The point he's making is that God is characterized by love because it's part of his essential nature. God cannot exist without his nature being characterized by love. And here's what we must understand. Here is why this is so deep and profound, because love assumes that there's another. And if that's the case, then what this means is that it makes sense for why Christians believe that God exists in a triune nature, that there is one God and yet three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, God has existed for all eternity in this loving fellowship amongst himself. He's not a solitary God. If he was a solitary God, it would be hard to conceive how his very nature is characterized by love, because love requires another. I mean, even in our culture, when we use metaphors like the idea of self-love or self-care, that only makes sense because we know that love is supposed to have another. And so we can think something about what it might mean to have self-love because we know that love requires another person. And so God exists as a Trinity. He isn't solitary, he isn't alone, and therefore at the very core of his being is love. Love exists because God is a triune God. There is a triune love, and therefore love exists in our world. And so what we should see then is that love points beyond itself to the triune God who has existed for all eternity in loving fellowship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And because God is love, we then can love one another, he says. We love because God is love. So we can love one another because God is love. We can love one another because God loves us. Verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Love is preeminently put on display in the sending of the son. Again, love is not mere sentiment. It's not fluffy words. Love is enacted. It is put in action, and it's seen most preeminently. Love is put on display in the action of sending the Son. The Father sent the Son, and he sent the Son for our benefit, it says. He sent the Son because he loves us. He sent the Son for our benefit that we might live through him. And so if we want to understand something of what love looks like, we need to look to God who sends the Son, his only Son, his only begotten Son, his utterly unique Son. Once again, this points to the very essence and nature of God. When it says that God sent the Son, it means that the Son pre-existed before he was born. He sent the divine Son to come, to take on flesh, to walk among us, and to die a death in our place. I mean, this week, as we head towards Easter, it should be a preeminent reminder to us of God's love for us. He sent his Son for our benefit. His utterly unique Son was sent into our world as an atoning sacrifice. That is the propitiation for our sins. What that means is that he died in our place, on our behalf. He's no mere example. He was sent to die in our place. God, in his triune cosmic plan, was moved to action because of his love. And so what did he do? He didn't only have warm thoughts and feelings about us. No, he sent his Son to die for us, to be that atoning sacrifice, to cleanse us of the impurity that sin creates. Sin is simply the idea of humanity in rebellion to God, living on our own terms, in our own way, in our own power, in our own strength, doing it my way. And it's when we were walking as God's enemies that in his love, he sent his Son to give up our lives, to give up his life for ours. See, the Son came not because you and I are lovable, but because God is love. And if that's true, then what would keep us from trusting Jesus at his word? What would keep us from giving our lives to Christ, entrusting ourselves to him, turning from that way of life where I live for myself on my own terms, in my own power and strength, turning from that and embracing Jesus by faith, trusting him at his word, giving our lives over to him that we might experience life, it says. You see, love is a self-sacrificing concept. Jesus sacrificed his own life. I mean, that is the very heart of love, self-sacrifice. It's kind words. It's warm sentiment, yes, but it's more than that. Love is an action. It's self-sacrificing our time, our talent, our treasure. It's sacrificing for another, for their good, their benefit. And so maybe the question we can wrestle with is, what kind of sacrifice are you making for another? We can love because God is love. We can love because God loves us. And finally, we can love one another because God lives in us. Look again at verse 11. Beloved, If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. The sacrificial death of Jesus assures us of God's love. And because of that sacrificial death in our place, it should lead us to love one another. Love is an action. It sent the Son to the cross on our behalf. You see, love should cost us something. There is sacrifice entailed when we love one another. It means putting others before ourselves, sacrificing of our time, giving of our talent, sharing what we have. And through it all, people will see the Lord in your loving sacrifice. That's what he's saying here. That's the point of reminding us that we have an invisible God. And the way that he is seen is by your sacrificial love for one another. And what's so encouraging about our church is the way in which you continue to excel in that reality. Giving of your time, your energy, your know-how, serving one another, caring for one another, living on mission, partnering around the gospel of Jesus together. The invitation then is to continue to excel in that same kind of sacrificial love. You see, people will see God because he lives in you, he says. Because you're in Christ, if you are, then the Holy Spirit is in you. He's providing the motivation and the strength to love in this kind of way. By love, you make God visible to a watching world. You do this in your life together. Our participation in worship gatherings like this, lingering before and after, spending time with one another, caring for one another, serving in all kinds of different ways, being engaged in community environments. Those are the ways in which we sacrificially love, making God visible to a watching world. And it's in this then that he says, his love is completed in us. Here's what he means. Love originates and finds its source in God. That's what we saw. Love then is put into action and on display by the Son giving of his life for us. And now, as we live in Jesus, as the Spirit of God dwells within us, love is completed as we love one another. We love because God is love. So how might we take steps in the days ahead to love one another, that we might grow in our love for one another? It's going to begin by thinking on God. We must have big thoughts about a grand and glorious God who exists in triune essence, in complete loving fellowship together. We have to think upon him. We need this week to think upon his love for us in sending his Son to die for us. Thinking on those realities of the gospel will move and motivate us to love in sacrificial ways, to give of our time, our energy, and share what we have. We need to grow in this kind of loving community with one another as we pursue life together within the church. Again, what is so encouraging about our church is that love abounds in this place. I mean, we see people who are giving of themselves in sacrificial ways, serving and caring for one another in tangible ways. And the call for us is to continue to look to Jesus and to grow in that kind of love for one another. And one of the ways that we might do that is by thinking about time together. How do we spend time with one another in our ordinary rhythms of life? How can we take time to sacrifice in such a way that we spend time with one another, caring for one another, meeting the needs of one another. And as we do this, then, we're living for the very mission of God. Love makes God real, visible, seen. And this is why we must pursue a life of love together. And as we head towards Easter, then, this is an opportunity for us to think about how we can have a loving hospitality in this coming week. We've been talking about who's your one. Who is that one person that you're praying for, that you're asking the Lord to do a work in their heart to change and transform them from the inside out? Next week, we have invited all of those people to come and to join us. And that's an opportunity for us to live with great gospel hospitality, to be welcoming and warm in the ways that you always are, to take steps to inconvenience yourself, to meet someone you don't know. Not to sit back and wait, see if they talk to you, but to take a step and to invite them in, to provide a warm welcome that comes from our life together in Christ. I mean, next week, that's why we're taking part in the Mercy Ministry offering, because we want to love one another well. We want to give above and beyond our tithes and offerings so that we might help create funds to serve our church body and our local community. And the only way that any of this is possible is because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. Like, we need to think in these moments, we need to think on Jesus' life, death, and resurrection as an act of love by God for us. It's because of his life, death, and resurrection that love is possible for you and I. And so, if you know Jesus and the invitation is to come and to take a piece of that bread, take a cup of that juice, remembering Jesus' broken body for you, his shed blood on your behalf, that you might know him, and to ask him to do a work in your heart that you could live in loving sacrifice, that you could care for one another well, that we could worship the Lord and all that he's done on our behalf. We love because God is love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given it to us, that you have spoken clearly by it. We pray that by this gospel word, the gospel word about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, that it would move us in these moments, that we would experience your grace, mercy, and kindness in a fresh way. Lord, move us, motivate us, spur us on to love and good deeds. Help us in those realities. It is difficult for us to move outside of ourselves. We have spent a lifetime thinking about ourselves far too much. So we need your help by your Spirit, that we could become people who move in loving action, sacrificially. Help us to follow your example. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.